Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we just continue in this flow. See what God has for us today. It's a blessing to be here. In preparing for this, I wrote down several things of notes. And going over my notes, I got about 5 messages out of them this morning. But I'll only share 2. I promise you. Cher just laughing because she knows that's not a joke. Praise God. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Mitch, for having us here. And this is, you know, our first month into our church merging with this church. And thank God, I just believe that God has some great things for us. And really, as Pastor Mitch has been sharing in his things for the, you know, this year, the goals and what God's given him, the vision, one major part is getting into your place. And I really believe that this year that God will bring us all into his divine plan, into alignment, and we'll get into the place that God has for us. Hallelujah. You'll know as I talk that I'm not from the north. I was born in Nashville, Tennessee at a very early age. I grew up in the south, so it's going to sound real southern. But we'll believe God for interpretation for you if you don't understand southern English. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. You can go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Sometime this morning we'll get there. Let me just say that, you know, the way I minister, I just flow out of my heart and I have things, and I've done series for several weeks and had notes on it and prepared, and into week 3 and 4, I'm on about the second paragraph or second point on my notes. So you're not going to be following me on any kind of a screen. It's because it just goes too differently the way I minister. But praise God, I'll flow out of my spirit and trust the Lord to share what exactly you need to hear. You know, when thinking about our group and thinking about today, and especially one of the things that God was doing towards the end of last year with us, is I knew that change was coming. And after we had taken steps, you know, all of our people had pretty much sensed the same thing. We just didn't really know what that meant. I know sometime you can put your own human interpretation on what God is doing. And so you not only need to have a revelation of what God has said, you know, what God has spoken to you, but you need, I mean, you not only need to know what God is saying, but you need to know what does that really mean? How's he going to work that out? There's a story about a man that was in the fields and he was plowing. And he looked up, and he saw a big hand write GP in the sky. So this farmer was in his field walking around and looked up and saw a big hand that wrote GP. So he sold his farm, took off, and went preaching. And after a year and a half, he realized it didn't mean go preach. It meant go plow. So what happened? He heard from God. He knew God was doing something, but he put his own interpretation to it. So we need to really know by the Holy Ghost what God is putting us into and the plans that he has. But really, we need a spiritual revelation of what God is saying to us. And we need to know by the Spirit, what does he really mean by that? I remember Brother Hagin, when the Lord appeared to him, one of the times at the end when he had been out in the field ministry. He had pastored for 12 years and been out in the field ministry. And he went out. And Jesus appeared to him, talked to him about his ministry. And he says, when you left the last church, you entered into the first phase of your ministry. And he says, Lord, you're kidding. He says, I've been pastoring for 12, 15 years. I've been in ministry since I've been saved. And he says, you know, I'm just now entering into the first phase of my ministry. He says, yes, son. And many people live and die and never even get into the first phase of their ministry. Well, Brother Hagin, when he was, the Lord led him to his last church, he was praying, and the Lord spoke to him and says, I want you to go to that church, and when you go to that church, that's the last church you'll ever pastor. And that's all the Lord said. You know, sometimes the Lord don't speak volumes on things. He'll just give you a word or two. And if you're not careful, you'll get something in your heart. God will speak to you, but you'll put your own understanding to it. Or sometimes with us, we put the understanding or the interpretation of what we like on it. But the Lord spoke to him, so he thought, you know, later he's talking about it, he says, well, that means you know, several things. That could mean that when I pastor this church, I'm just going to pastor this church until I die. Or it could mean that I'm going to be there for a while, fulfill my part, and then move on. Well, it was the second. But I know that as we go into these days and into these times, we need to find our place in the body. We need to find our place of where God's putting us. We need to be open. We need to be flexible. And we need to be ready for God to put us in the place that He has for us so that we can do the work that He's called us to do. So we don't want to just do what we want to do. We don't want to follow our own plans. But we do want to follow God's plans. And God's plans are really good. And I know at the end when Pastor Ken came down to our church, Pastor Ken Kasigan ministered, he was talking about God strategically placing everyone in their place and placing everyone to where, you know, in the body where they'll be most effective. Now, I'll just warn you, one thing about when I'm preaching, I'll use a lot of sports illustrations. And it's for Mike so that he can feel tied in. Praise the Lord. You know, there's something about being in the right place. How many of you watched a Colts game last night? Go ahead and confess it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you notice on the line, everyone probably weighed into the high 200s, low 300s that were on that line? There wasn't anybody up there that was 178 pounds. Not for long. Not for long. Right. He was going through the line. Or he tried to. He didn't quite make it. But you also notice back in the safety position and on the corners, there was no guy out there that's 325 pounds. Why? Because they would be in the wrong position. They couldn't function and they couldn't help that team. So a guy that weighs in his high 100s, low 200s, he's probably going to be on the corner or a safety. He's not going to be up there on the line. Why? Because he's out of place. He can't function in that place. So I believe one of the things God is doing is He's preparing us and He's moving us into our God-ordained place. And that's why we've got to pray. We've got to be open to God. We've got to be sensitive. And we've got to be willing to change. We've got to be willing to move. And we've got to be able to allow God to position us and take us into the place that He wants us to function. You know, every part of our body has a certain function. And every part is different, and it all works together. Well, I know this. God calls, you prepare, and God separates. I often preach out of Hebrews chapter 11 about Noah. It says, Noah being warned of God of that which was to come, you know, moved in fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Well, what happened with Noah? He had a revelation from God that something was going to happen on the earth, that God was going to judge the earth, that a flood was coming. But he had a revelation, and then he prepared and moved in the light of his revelation. So he had a revelation, he prepared, and then God brought it to pass. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to serving God, do you know that the gifts and callings of God are without unrepentance? That means God never changes His mind. He'll call you, and when God calls you, that's what you're called to do. But do you know that God can't prepare you for that calling? He can lead you, but you're the one that's to prepare. You look through the scripture, it talks about study. It talks about things to pray. It talks about things you can do to enhance that. Listen to your spirit, walk, grow, develop, obey God, take the steps that God has. So you realize that God is going to call you, but you're going to prepare. And you're going to get yourself prepared for what God's going to do. But also, you can't separate you. Remember over in Acts chapter 13? You have Paul and, well, actually Saul and Barnabas. And the whole story, how Saul got saved. And right after that, no one wanted to be around him. But God led Barnabas to him. And they were together. And then Paul went off back to his hometown. And eventually Barnabas went and got him. And they were ministering together. And they got to that certain place. And it says, and the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to do. You see, when you realize that you can't call yourself and you can't separate yourself, All you can do is prepare yourself and be open to be used by God. Because then you're not out there forcing yourself into a ministry. You're not out there trying to make anything happen. You know, a lot of people's heard from God. They've had, you know, in their spirit what God's told them to do. But there's, you know, timing involved. And God has to place you in that place. So when you realize that God's going to separate you and that God is the one who promotes and God's the one that places the members in the body as it pleases Him, then we realize that we just need to get into a rest. We need to prepare and we need to get ready for what God's doing. I believe in the church world for the last many years, and I've got prophecies. I may read some today. I know what the saints have said about these days, the end times, this move of God. Many different things about the generation that we live in and what God wants to do. But you know, we haven't seen very much of it come to pass, have we? You've seen prophecies about nations shaking and you know, Wigglesworth talked about hospitals emptying out and the move of the Spirit and the greatest move of God ever. Have you read about you know, world history and evangelism and outpourings? There's been some great outpourings in this earth. But if the Holy Ghost, through these men and women of God, has spoken about our generation being the greatest one and eclipsing everything, well, we sure hadn't seen it yet, have we? I know Dr. Dufresne, a minister, talked about all the things that's been promised and everything that's happened. He says, you know, if the rapture happened today, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sit down and talk with God, and I'd say, you mean this is it? This is what the last days? This is this thing that you prophesied about? This is it? This is what you were talking about? It's not that God hadn't done good things, but what we've seen is God has been doing things, but He's been preparing us for the work. And the work's going to come to pass, but we've got to be prepared, and we've got to flow with God. I know one minister said, some were called and sent, and some just bought a microphone and went. And you know, it's a very different thing when God sets you into a place and when you set yourself into a place. But we've got to be willing to flow with God. We've got to always be willing to change. We've got to be willing to do what God is telling us to do and follow the Holy Ghost and flow with Him. And that's really the reason why God has put our churches together. I believe it's for what God is about to do. We've been in preparation. You've been in preparation. God's been preparing us. God's been preparing you. Well, one have put 1,000 to flight, two have put 10,000. So it's just not, when in talking with Pastor Mitch before, as God started doing this, and trust me, I was the most shocked of the whole bunch in a lot of ways. It's not that I'm not willing to step out and do what God wants, but see, I couldn't go into starting a church thinking I'm going to do it for a certain amount of years and then do something different. I mean, I'm in it for the long haul. So my whole thinking, everything was about that. And so when things begin to change, you know, you start picking up on that and you're thinking, Now, I've been through transition several times, and I've survived every one of them. Praise the Lord. I just know God's intelligent. God is leading us into better things. But as God really began to move, I just know that it's better for me, it's better for my family, it's better for my church, it's better for everyone involved that I be in the perfect will of God. That's what's the most important. And I've got to always be willing to be used and to move with God. Well, as God moved and began to do things, you know, one thing about the will of God is, you know, when you're taking it, it's just a step at a time. It's faith. You really don't have much light, much revelation beyond the step that you're taking. But as you take several steps and look back, it's as clear as a bell. But when you're looking forward, you don't see very much. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is if you knew too much, you'd try to go out and make it happen yourself. Get in the flesh, get the timing off, and be in a mess. The second thing is, you can't please God without faith. God's going to show you just enough to step out and to act on in faith. Because if He showed you everything, there wouldn't be no faith involved in it, would it? How many of you wish He would show you more? You know what I always say? Act on, you know, step out, walk out, and act on the light and the knowledge that you have, and you'll be given more. If you have a gift, you want to be used more, start giving that gift. And as you use it, it will increase. If you stop and don't use it, it will decrease. So just step out and do and operate in what God has for you. Well, thank God about this year. I think that God is putting us into our place. He's getting us into a strategic place. He's moving by His Spirit to bring us into the thing that he has for us. Well, God's a good God. He's got a lot of good things, and he wants us to be blessed, to flourish, and he wants the entire body to Christ to be positioned so that we can be used. Well, even in this church, what happens this year when we see great growth come in? The Lord's been talking to Pastor Mitch about growth, increase. I know even the one minister that we had down from Chicago, and I think you've heard the CD, God, you know, spoke through him, and I'm sure other people, about increase. You know what? If you're going to have a lot of increase come in, you're going to have to be unprepared for that. You remember when the a widow woman whose husband died, who was in the, you know, serving God, and she was left, and she had all these bills, and the debtors were going to take her kids and sell them, and she went to the prophet. And the prophet says, well, what do you got left? She says, I just got a little cruse of oil. He says, well, go borrow some vessels, and that not a few. And so she went and borrowed, and she began to pour. And he said, thus saith the Lord, that this cruse of oil will not cease, you know. And he just went on and talked about that it would just continue to pour. So she poured, and there was vessels, and there was vessels. And as long as there was vessels there, there was oil pouring into it. And when the vessels were finished, he says, is that it? She says, yep, that's it. And then that anointing stopped. So if God's going to pour into our church, we got to have a place to contain it. And I believe as we go forth this year, we're having two different groups that are now one group. We're going to see how God's been preparing you and training you for what's coming in. And now that as there's a new phase and a new sense of direction and a new place in God, the things you've been preparing for, you're going to see God open up a place for you to be used in that. So I just encourage you to get ready. Well, one main thing that I want to share this morning, and I'll keep this to just one message. This is not the end of the year. I don't have to get them all in at once. It's just the beginning. I remember I had it in my heart. I went to Bible school back in actually 1980. I graduated 81, 82. I know I don't look that old. I was one of those child prodigies that went very, very young. You know, 6, 7 years old, they just threw me in and let me go. That is funny, isn't it? These guys are laughing. But I remember step by step how God led me in different ministries I worked with in different places. And I remember after a season, I had it in my heart to go to the mission field. Well, I was in health ministry for 13 years. And every new step I thought, well, praise God, here's it. I get to go in the real ministry. I'm just saying what I thought, not you. I mean, I've been preparing, I've been working, I've worked for these ministries, doing this. Every new step, I'm thinking, oh, praise God, I get to go out and preach and go around the world. Next step, helps ministry. So I go through that stage. I know change is coming, get ready to go again. Praise the Lord, here we go. And helps ministry. And then the Lord led me out of one place and working with Willie George in Tulsa, going through. I had people like Billy Brim, different ministers you'd all know, prophesy, increase is coming, blessing is coming, praise God, promotion is coming. Well, I was already crusade director for the ministry, traveling every weekend, doing all these things. I'm thinking, promotion, great, I finally get to do what I'm called to. You know what promotion was? It wasn't too long after that to where Willie called me in the office and basically said they're changing the road ministry and you don't have a job no more. So I ended up going to Louisiana, hooking up with the church that had 12 people. They were in this old church, and they had two sets of pews, and everyone sat right in the end on both sides. It actually looked like you was preaching on an airplane. They were just lined up two by two. Or you were preparing to get on the ark, because they were all lined up two by two, ready to get in. And I got down there, and not only was that different in a little small town in Louisiana, but, which is a story unto itself, we won't go there. Hallelujah. Started out, I had to go, I mean, I went and got a job, worked in a boat factory, made minimum wage, because the government wouldn't let them pay me less than they were paying me. It's against the law to be paid less. They couldn't do it. They'd be arrested. Be shut down. And all the stuff like that, and all the different things about it. So I'm thinking, you know, God's promotion, this is really something else. I remember standing on top of a trash truck. It was over 100 degrees in the swamps in Louisiana. I had on this thing, we were around fiberglass, and I'm standing there thinking about all these great prophecies that God gave me. And I said, Lord, I tell you what, do me a favor, never promote me again the longest day I live. I don't want to be promoted. That's it. I've had it. This is enough promotion for me. I did it. Praise the Lord. Well, I was down there, and I was used to, you know, thinking, here's my chance. I'm going out onto the road, going to the ministry, doing all these things. Finally get to go preach. I work in this church. I end up working every... I clean the church half the time. I mean, for years, cleaned the church, taught the preschoolers. You know, I got to preach once a year because it became church tradition. And Lord knows you can't break church tradition. Once a year. Worked full-time in this job. And so I remember towards the end of it, I got a call from Blaine Bartell, who's a friend of mine. And he says, David, during all this time, I know you felt like you missed God, or you felt like you don't understand why you're going through this and why God's, you know, led you this direction. But when you get to the next step, you'll look back and you'll see how God prepared you for this. You know, Joseph had a dream, didn't he? He had a really good dream. And what happened? Right after that, he told his brothers. He really did. I tell you one thing, you gotta be real careful what you tell what God told you, especially if there's siblings involved. Hallelujah. So he got thrown into a pit, was a slave. God blessed him. He got falsely accused. He passed that test. God blessed him. He got promoted again. He went from being a slave in Potiphar's house to being a prisoner. Years went by. Everything God put under his hand prospered. God trained him. God developed him. His gift began to operate. He began to, you know, interpret dreams, speak by the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass. Everybody said, great. He says, listen, when you get up here to Pharaoh, you tell him what happened, and you tell him, don't forget me. I'm innocent. I'm not supposed to be here. He said, yeah, I'll do that. Let me write that down. 2 years went by. He forgot him. You know, sometimes right before something opens up and God's about to move into a new direction, it just seems like everything goes flat. You ever experienced that? It just seems like, it's like a Coke with all the fizz gone. Dr. Pepper, I'm sorry, I'll just, the shirt. I mean, it's just not the same thing. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh had a dream and things happened. And boom, there it was. He couldn't interpret it. His hired staff couldn't interpret it. No one could interpret it. And finally, God says, I need to confess something. He says, what is it? Well, this guy had a dream. We had dreams, and he interpreted it, and then it came to pass. And I was supposed to tell you, but I didn't. He says, go get this guy. So they took him out of prison, came. Joseph came there. Pharaoh told him the dream. He interpreted it. And then after that, after he interpreted it, he says, now here's what I would do. Now the interpreting part was a supernatural thing. It was just a divine, supernatural manifestation. Here's the interpretation of the dream. But the acting on it and what to do, I believe it was his preparation and his training, and it was the wisdom of God that he developed. And see, the whole time God gave him a dream, and God prepared him his entire life to stand in that place. And you know what? Because of all of his preparation, I like what Brother Hagin said, and don't forget this. He said, preparation time is never lost time. And I know with me, for years, I mean, every step was a preparation. And I thought, here we go, the next thing, let's get it. And it was more preparation. And then it was more preparation. And then you take a step and you think, well, finally we got it. And that's preparing for something else. And then I get to go overseas and do things. And that's preparation. And then I do this. And that's being prepared. And then I pioneer church for 6 years, and I find out, you know what? All that was is just preparation. Man, I'm thinking, boy, we got to get prepared. Something's coming. I mean, with all this, wow! You know, I started when I was 18, and I'm still preparing. You know, God has got things prepared for us, and he has a strategic time to bring it forth. But when it was God's time, when it was the right season, when it was time for Joseph to come forth, he was prepared. He stood up. He had passed the test. He was in the place. God promoted him. Promotion comes not from the north, east, or the west, from the south, but from the sides of the north. God promotes you. And the promotion came, but he was anointed to stand in that place, and he was there in position. And he brought forth, and he really saved the entire world. and God used him. So preparation time is never lost time. And if you're being prepared and God leads you through steps that you don't understand, don't be concerned about it. Just keep preparing. Just keep going. I remember when I'd been in the boat factory and been in that church for 5 years, then all of a sudden, things begin to get stirred up. I always say this, the Holy Ghost is the great comforter, and he's the great uncomforter. That if he wants you to do something, and it's time to leave one thing and go the next, or if he's trying to get you to do something, and you're just not quite getting it, you know what? You become real uncomfortable. Y'all looking at me so holy, like you have no idea what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can make you real uncomfortable. You start going a direction God don't want you to go, and all of a sudden, ruh-roh, you know, something's wrong. Or as we say in the South, something's bad wrong, which is even more than wrong. It's really wrong. Well, God puts us in a strategic place. Keith Moore said, if you're in your place, you're in your grace, and you'll fulfill your race. If you're out of place, you're out of grace, and you'll fall on your face. So what do we got to do this year? We got to make sure that we're in our place. Well, I remember during this time the Lord began to deal with me about going to the mission field. And a lot of times when you're in change, it's a process. It's not such a cut and dry thing. It's like you're going from this point to this point. And a lot of time it's an interesting journey in between. It can be really interesting. But I remember a door opened up in the summer of 92. And there was a group that went to Peru. And they it was a youth group. And they were doing skits and different things. And some people would preach and minister. And I think the total group was about 60 people. Our group with the teenagers and the workers were about 16 people. Well, I knew it was time to do something. So I started taking steps. And I had it in my heart to go. And I went. And in a week and a half, we had, just with our 16 people doing street ministry on the streets, we had over 3,100 people saved in just over a week. Miracles. I remember times we were one place and just that healing power fell, and we began to, I just told the guy up there, I said, give an altar call for healing. I just felt the healing power fall. It's falling. Just give an altar call for healing. Say, if you need healing, run up here. And they did, and all the workers spread out, and everybody that prayed it for everybody was just an instant miracle. I prayed for 30 people row, instant miracle. I mean, tumors disappear, ears open, just pop, just every kind of thing you can imagine, just boom, 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 boom. And then I went back to the boat factory, and I'm still seeking God. Okay, Lord, where am I supposed to be? But I'm beginning to be stirred. And then after a while, almost a year went past, and I knew that it was time to do something, and I had to do something, so I went to work one day in the boat factory, and the boat factory burned down. Now, let me just tell you about, I'm a loyal person, but I'm very smart. They had 55-gallon buckets, barrels of acetone, and all this flammable liquid. It was in the thing full of fiberglass, and everything was flammable. And that thing started burning. And I saw a barrel just blow through the top of the roof. So I got in my car and I drove about a mile away. I did. And then I waited for about an hour till it calmed down. And then I came back and everybody was mad at me. See, why weren't you here to help fight this fire and do stuff like this? And I says, I'm going to bring my check stub to you tomorrow. And I'll let you look and see what they pay me. You think I'm going to go in there and there's barrels blowing through the roof? I says, you got to be kidding me. There's no way I'm going in there. I said, I was born in the morning, but it wasn't yesterday morning. I am not doing it. And all this thing was burning. And the Lord says, that's your working life. Now you'll work for me. And the next week I went to camp meeting and it was time to go. I says, okay, I'm just going to go. I know it's time to go. I'm going to camp meeting. I'm going to find a place to go. All that's over with. Now it's time to go. So bottom line, I went and I ended up in Minsk working with AFCM. We were with the group that gave out the Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin books in Russian and passed those out. Well, I was there for a while and I went to see so many things happen. They had me in the warehouse and they thought after 3 days, I said, we got to get him out of the warehouse. He's driving everybody nuts. We got to get him out preaching. So they sent me to the Russian schools. And so I went up to the schools in Russia about about 90 miles northeast of Moscow. And I was there, and during my time that I was there, I preached. I'm 150-minute classes, and we had over 500 kids saved. I don't know how many filled the Holy Ghost, prayed for them. I sent the material back. I had pictures taken, and I sent it back to Brother Copeland about what happened, and they put it in their magazine. And I got to go to Estonia, and with Pastor Ken's church, and a lot of miracles happened there. A lot of the supernatural was ministering, and I come back home, and I was going to come back for 2 months, and then go back over there for another 7 months. So I'm thinking, well, I went to Peru and this happened, and I went over here and this happened, and those were short trips. If I go for a long time, only God knows what's going to happen in 7 months. I've only been 2 or 3 months at the most. So I get back over there, and they have a stack of places that are people to come preach the Word of Faith message, churches all over the former Soviet Union. And I'm there, and I'm just, woo, my throttle's all the way up. Man, I'm just ready to go. 3 weeks come, they have stacks of places, and you know what? Nothing's working out. No one can get anything to work out. And I'm there for 3 weeks, and I'm thinking, man, by the last time I was here, after 3 weeks, I've already had this much happen. I had nothing happening. So I get away, and I go to my little flat, and I pray, and I say, okay, Lord, what's going on? Something's not right. Like Brother Hagin says, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. You know, it's just something's wrong. And so I begin to pray, and the Lord said this, I'm more concerned about the work I do in you than the work I do through you. And I thought, you cannot be serious. You cannot be serious. I'm not a tennis player, by the way. But I'm sitting there thinking, because everything before has been going on the mission field, doing this, accomplishing this, doing this, doing this, doing this. And the only thing I think in my mind is just doing this. Doing something, doing something, doing something. I got to do something. So I can tell your kids, could you please do something with this room? Oh, I just felt it all fall. That whole area, I lost the whole area. Right over there. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have mentioned that. But the Lord says, I'm more concerned about the work I do in you than the work I do through you. Because to the degree you allow me to do a work in you, to that degree I can do a work through you. And I thought, really? See, but my whole mind was doing all these things, my whole thoughts, and God's thought is He wanted to develop me. He wanted to use me. He had used me. But really, He wanted to prepare me to be used in an even greater way. So I said, okay, I got it. And so I know that I got my mind back on God. I start seeking Him, get my mind on the Lord, minister to Him. And then I got to go out, and I got to do these things. Have you found Ephesians chapter 4 yet? If you haven't, just forget it. You're probably not going to ever get there. Like I said, I've got so many different things. I just have to just pull the cork and see what comes out for this time. But I think that it's important this year, and the one thing that I think God wants us to do this year, He's putting us in our strategic place, but here's the point I want you to see this morning. It's God's will this year that you grow up into Him, that you develop. Is God going to do great things? Yes. Is He going to use us? Yes. But what's the most important thing? Getting into your place, but growing and developing into a position to where God can place you into that, and you're not placing you into that. And when He calls upon you, you'll be ready. Any of you see the national championship game this year? I hope you're not from Texas. The college national championship game? What happened? Like the third or fourth play from scrimmage in the first quarter, Texas all-star quarterback, senior, didn't go to the pro, come back for this moment, quarterback got hurt. And who was the backup? A freshman that they didn't play hardly none. So here you got the national championship game. The big daddy's gone. It's all you now. And he's a freshman. Well, for about a half, he struggled. Then at the end, he started getting real hard, start going. But see, you got to be prepared, because you never know when God's going to call on you. If you're not prepared when the call comes, you won't be ready to respond. You see, there's revelation. God gives you a revelation of what He wants you to do. There's preparation. You prepare. And then He separates you, or the manifestation of it comes. So we just got to be prepared. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called into your hope, even if you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto us, everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let's go on down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, what's he saying? God sent the ministry gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come into unity, that we're no more children, but that we mature, that we grow up, that we speak the truth in love, and then when we do that, we all fit together. See, we've got to all grow up. And we've got to get to the place, you say, well, what's God's will for me in 2010? It's to grow up. It's to grow, to mature, to be in a place to where we can be used by God. Well, what happens if we don't grow? Well, there's knowledge we won't have, there's things we won't have, and we won't be able to fully function in the place that we're called to minister. Well, we need to grow up into Him. We need to grow, and as we submit ourselves to the ministry gifts, as we get into our God-ordained place, then we are able to grow, and then we're able to bring a supply. Do you know that it's, every one of us has a supply? That we all have something, an anointing. You go over to 1 Corinthians 12, and it talks about each member. You know, you have a foot, you have a hand, you have an eye. They're all different. They all have a place. They all have a place to be. And all we got to do is just find our place and just function in our place. If you're an eye, be the best eye you can be. Forget about being a foot. You'll just step on everybody. You'll step on all the eyes. That won't be no good. I mean, you just got to function in your place. You know what happens with a lot of people, a lot of in our circles, is one thing Brother Hagin said in these last days, one of the main things God's doing is developing strong local churches. We have a lot of people that are even ministry gifts that are called to ministry that are a wonderful part, but they're not in a functioning body. Do you know you can be the best liver there ever was, but outside of a body, you're worthless? Whatever part you are, just on your own, now you can be sold for a lot of money. I will tell you that. And remember that, Mr. Dr. Pepper. We can sell you for a lot. But you've got to have a body to function with. And I know that God is developing a strong body. And I think that as we go forth this year, is what Pastor Mitch has shared with us and told us about the vision for this year, to increase, to grow, to get in our divine ordained place. I just know you just got to be set by God in a certain place. And when you're there, things just work. Now, sometimes your head screams, your flesh gives you fits. But, you know, we're not led by our head or by our flesh, are we? See, most of the time we're not. Some of the times, well, we won't go there. But we've got to get to the place that where we're able to hear from God, find out what He wants to do, and then get the interpretation of what He's saying. And see, you can really get a word from God and put the wrong interpretation to it and miss the whole thing. So if God's spoken something to you by the Spirit of what He wants you to do, don't go out and try to make it happen. You know, Jesus told Brother Hagin in that vision, I'd rather that you be too slow and behind than out ahead. Because when you're too slow, you're still out. I'm still out in front of you, and you can still see me, and you can still be guided by me. But if you get out ahead, you can get that word. You can get what you want to do. You get too quick. You try to make it happen, and it gets all goofed up. Well, we don't want people all goofed up, do we? So we just believe that the Holy Ghost is going to put you in your place this year and put you into the place you're supposed to be to function. What is God's will for this year? Is to grow into that place, to prepare so when God calls, when He wants to put you there, you're able to do it. And if you're growing, and if you're prepared, and if you're mature, and you have knowledge, and you can hear the Spirit of God, then when you're there, God puts you there, and there's an anointing on you to do it. There's nothing more frustrating than laboring for God in the flesh. There's not any experience that can be more frustrating than that. But in the plan of God, there's a flow, and there's a grace, and it just comes. And you don't have to work it up. It's like, you know, Pastor Mitch talking about hooked up with the vine in John 15. You know, if you go down to Florida when these oranges start to grow now, the ones that didn't get froze with all this global warming, the ones that didn't freeze off with the coldest temperatures in history, you know, these things are going to grow, but you can put your ear real close to them. You're not going to hear them straining. You're not going to hear, oh, what are you doing? I'm just trying to be an orange. It just naturally, it just comes through there. The sap comes through there, whatever it is. Comes out to the end, and that's just a natural fruit of growing. Hallelujah. Well, we don't have to strain. All we got to do is just be sensitive and yield. Hallelujah. Go ahead and laugh. This is church. We won't haul you out. I don't think. But praise God. So as we go forth this year and are seeking God, I, like you, like everyone else, and one thing we're going to be praying and wanting to do is we want to be sensitive and make sure everyone gets hooked up into their place. I like the Summer Olympics. I like the Winter Olympics also, but the Summer Olympics, you know, about every year or ever Olympics, someone gets disqualified, and it's usually the U.S. in one of these track meets. You know why? Because there's a certain lane they got to run in. Now, if you get outside, if you step on or outside that line, you get disqualified. So you can't go run in someone else's lane, or you get penalized. The only thing we got to do this year is seek God, grow, mature. We don't have to try to be anything special, be in any certain kind of a special place. All we got to do, Paul says, you know, that he kept his ministry within the boundaries and the limits to where God had for him. That means he didn't try to step out into another man's work or do something that someone else was called to do. And the glorious thing about the body is when we're all in the Spirit, we're all in the things of God, we all fit together wonderfully. We don't step over each other. There's no fighting for one position. There's no running our lanes together. Every run, one runs in their own lane. I told you I'd be talking about sports, didn't I? Told you. But what happened, I remember this last Olympics, the U.S. won like the 4x100, and they were all jumping up and down, and then that big thing come up there, that red flag, that whatever it come up, and they were disqualified. Well, why run if we're not going to win? I mean, we want to run to win. Paul said, I'm going to fight, I'm fighting to win. I mean, I'm competing to win the prize. So he won the prize, he stayed in his limits, and he did that. And he fulfilled his call. Praise God. One thing I would like everyone to do is this week, Pastor Mitch and Pastor Kathy are going to Copeland's meeting, Kenneth Copeland's minister's meeting in Texas. And we want to spend this week really extra time in prayer for them. If you were in an airplane, would you pray for the pilot? I would. Why? Well, let's see. If I'm going to Denver, I don't want to end up in, you know, Hong Kong or somewhere else. Let's just believe he wrote some things down for us to pray for this week. Let's believe for Pastor Mitch and Pastor Kathy to have divine appointments and divine connections and revelation. See, he's the senior pastor. He's the one that God gives the vision to. He's the pilot. Hey, we're on the airplane. It's a real good idea to pray for that pilot. But I know in times like this, God can speak, God can move, God can show him things, things can come to light. And see, we got to operate by revelation, not by just natural knowledge. Now there's two groups that have become one. There's a lot of plans for the future. There's a lot of things that God wants to do. Well, we need a spiritual revelation of that. We don't need to just go out in our head and start planning things out. He needs a divine revelation of what God has for him, for you, and for the church. Who knows? You may be praying for him and God show him what you're supposed to do. Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Nobody wants that. Okay, well, mark that one out. Mark that one off. We won't do that. But I know that God puts people together. There's divine appointments. There's a time. And if you pray during this time for them, I know that God will bless you and it will bless everyone. Praise God. Well, God's a good God. There's a lot of good things coming up. We want to obey God. But really, what's God want us to do this year? He's more concerned about the work he does in us than the work he does through us. Why? Because the more we yield to him, the more he can do through us. So we just want to stay plugged up, be teachable, be ready to go, and good things are ahead. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this group, for this time. Father, I just thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, who is the one that's orchestrating the work of God on the earth. And Lord, I know that you set the members in the body as it pleases you. And I just believe that in Jesus' name, every single person will be placed and put into the exact place they're supposed to be. They'll run their race. And Lord, they will grow up and everyone will have a supply and everyone will be blessed. And God will do great things in our midst. And as we go forth this year, we'll look back and we'll see the wisdom of God on even this step that our churches have taken and what he has for us in the overall plan of God. And Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. And we just thank you as we go forth, as Pastor Mitch and Pastor Kathy go forth, especially this week, we just thank you that the angels of God go before them, prepare their way, that God protects them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. They'll get supernatural gas mileage. The grace will be on them to travel. And they'll travel easily. It would just be like no trip at all. They'll have divine appointments. They'll be in the right place. The people that they're supposed to be connected with, they'll meet. And it will be all by the Holy Ghost. And Father, we have our faith out. And we say it will be that way and no other. And Lord, I just thank you for their spirits being tuned, extra sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is saying to them during this week. And whatever you want to get across to them, they'll hear it, they'll receive it, and they'll get it. In Jesus' name. Amen.